This is Donovan Patrick Walsh, and you're tuned in to KWMR Point Reyes Station, West Marin Radio, and it rocks.
There's a lot of ways to treat a friend. Mama wants to rearrange my life. I've got this room full, just how bad I thought I wanted you. Right away you say you got a natural way of noticing the signs. Of friends, cause this time caught you unawares. Sometimes you need someone to tell. I know you've been saving all your nights for your wind-whipped wonder full of charm. Very rarely say it, but you wear it like a widow to the well. Salvation Railroad, don't leave nobody. I ain't seen you look so good in years. I ain't seen you look so good in years. I ain't seen you look so good.
All right, well, that was the Salvation Railroad. That was Salvation Railroad by the Ring of Truth Trio off their For the Record CD. And the reason we're playing that is because one of their members is our featured guest today, Rory McNamara. Welcome to the show, Rory.
Hello. Hello. Thanks for having me here.
And you and I have had a little bit of a history. I met you when you worked at Cardinal Newman. I was working in the IT department, and you were teaching photography.
That's correct. Yeah.
And also what's interesting to mention here, also working at the time as a receptionist, I think, or some kind of coordinator, was Lisa Redfern, who's a noted folk singer, songwriter from back east, and now she's back there. One of those songs appears on that album that was written by her.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. So, this is a shout-out to Lisa, out back east somewhere.
Hey, Lisa.
Yeah. So, Some of the things I was able to glean from you have a website, RoryMcNamara.com. So if anybody out there wants to be able to check it for themselves, please go. But your exposure to music, the first time was around when you were 10 years old and you were playing a banjo ukulele. And this was in a skiffle band.
I was in a boarding school in Northern Ireland.
That's right, boarding school.
My father was in the military, and we traveled around quite a bit, and we were in Northern Ireland for a while, and I wound up in boarding school. And in the evenings, to keep us occupied, the housemaster would hand us all an instrument and try to teach us how to play it. And I learned 3 or 4 chords, and so I was allowed to play the banjo ukulele. And at the end of the school year, we all got up in front of the whole school and made this dreadful noise. And it was, you know, the parents all cheered and clapped, and, you know, that was it. That was my first excursion into music. Later on, when I was in middle school, or the equivalent of middle school in London, we moved back to London, which is near where I was born. And this was in the very late 50s, 1959, I think. In middle school in England at that time, everybody had to learn French as well as English and Latin, and that was generally it. Some fancy schools would teach German as well, but French was definitely on. And our French teacher was a Frenchman by the name of Monsieur Carbasse, who had been in the French resistance during the Second World War, the Marquis. And he had a very sadistic streak about him.
And, oh, God.
He perfected this thing, which I think they probably used on German spies or something during the war, but where he could roll your hair round his finger and then hit you with his knuckles at the same time on the top of the head. It was called the Carbass knock.
Oh,
and it was
Lord.
extremely painful. And, you know, at that time in schools, you know, corporal punishment was pretty much anything short of capital punishment was allowed.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And he also had a way how he would love to humiliate people, put them on the spot and make them look stupid in front of their peers. So he got me out one time in front of the class and had me sing the French national anthem.
Oh, my goodness.
And the Marseillaise. And I actually had remembered it, and I sang it, and I sang it in tune. And I did not ever receive the Carbass knock again from this
oh,
guy.
Wow.
So I figured there must be something in this singing thing, you know. And that was kind of pointed me in the direction of singing.
To ease your pain, yeah.
Okay, you are full of surprises. So now we've got you playing a stringed instrument and also embracing singing, which, by the way, you do have a wonderful voice for doing the kind of thing that you do, which is folk music, a little bit of traditional music. And I understand that this is around this time is when you fell in, or perhaps a little later.
It was quite a bit later, in the 1950s, you know, 1959, I was only 13 at that time. Yes, I was 13 at the time, yeah. And so it was a little bit later than that. I got in a bad motorcycle crash, and I wound up spending a lot of time in a hospital in Spain. And there was an old Spanish guitar there. Mm. It would have been a Spanish guitar. It was in Spain, you know. And I started thrashing around on this and learning some songs.
Sweet.
And found that I could entertain a few people in the ward with it. And in fact, we had a little band in the ward. The guy next to me was a blind man with one leg. I mean, this sounds ridiculous, but this is
great.
But this is true.
This is great.
And
Have you written a book yet?
So so he would play the trumpet, but he didn't have a trumpet, you know. So he'd do this, and there was the guy in the bed on the other side was our percussionist, and he had a kind of a biscuit tin thing with a newspaper that he would thump.
Wow.
And I'd thrash away on the guitar, and we'd practice in the afternoon during the siesta hour, at least until the nun that ran the ward came back and told us to shut up and take a nap. And that was our, you know. So it was fun, you know. I guess what I'm trying to say is that it's something I've always enjoyed, and it's always been fun.
Isn't it funny the things that have you turn down a road, or you know, flick that switch in your brain that goes, "Oh, I like this.
Yeah.
I'm going to continue doing it."
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you know, it could be something that's like far removed from where you ended up, but for some reason, there's like a big arrow just said, "Boom!" You know, this way, and there you are.
Yeah, I don't know that the arrow was you know flashing with neon lights at that time or anything, and really pointing me, it was there, and I'd paid attention to it, but I don't think I let it be my compass, you know.
With the two stories, music has been part of your healing,
right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe we could listen to another song from one of your other albums. How about one from your latest work?
Yeah, there's a couple of things on there. There's one on there where, which is a Labour song about Joe Hill, the Labour activist, Swedish.
I dreamed I saw Joe Hill last night.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
And I'm playing on it and singing the background on it. But a friend of mine who is an actor and a Labour activist recited it. And I would love to hear that if you're okay with that one. The person reciting it, his name is Owen Murphy, and I think it's is it the second one on there or the
it looks like number three track three.
Okay,
I dreamed I saw Joe Hill last night, and this is Roy McNamara. No other groups really with this one.
No, not really. No,
this is your solo album.
Pretty much, yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, there are other people playing on it, as is Owen Murphy on this one. But.
Okay.
All righty, here we go.
I dreamed I saw Joe Hill last night, alive as you and me. Says I, but Joe, you're 10 years dead. I never died, said he. I never died, said he. The copper bosses killed you, Joe. They shot you, Joe, says I. It takes more than guns to kill a man, said Joe. I didn't die. Says Joe, I didn't die. And standing there, as big as life and smiling with his eyes, says Joe, what they can never kill went on to organize. Went on to organize. From San Diego up to Maine, in every mine and mill, where working folk defend their rights, it's there you'll find Joe Hill. It's there you'll find him still. I dreamed I saw Joe Hill last night, alive as you and me. Says I, but Joe, you're 10 years dead. I never died, said he. I never died, said he.
So that was the very traditional, American traditional, I Dream I Saw Joe Hill Last Night, as done by Rory McNamara. And the, that was the vocal, like you said before, was Owen, a friend of yours.
Owen Murphy, yeah.
Owen Murphy.
Lives in Oakland, who is a union activist and actor at the same time.
Cool.
So I figured he would be the ideal person to...
Well, it's an interesting arrangement. I like that. So,
oh, thank you.
So, do you arrange that, or did you have?
Yes, I did. It was the beginning of COVID, and I had quite a bit of time on my hands. So I sat around and thought, "Well, let's record an album." And I recorded most of it at home in my own home studio, which is nothing like as grand as your studio here.
Yeah, I just happen to have two big screens here.
Yeah, well, you know. anyway, I recorded that and at home pretty much, and brought in a few other people to help me with it.
Sweet.
That worked out. That worked out. So in terms of your repertoire, you select from a wide variety of different composers. I've seen Leonard Cohen credited on one, of course Lisa Redfern, Billy Marlowe,
yeah,
Billy Farlow, somebody different. And so anyway, what causes you to pick up a tune and include it in your repertoire?
Something I do all the time, in fact. I hear lots of songs that I really like. I mean, there are millions of really great songs out there, and I try to do them justice. Very, very few of them I can bring the respect and the feeling, really, you know, to a song, to be able to, if you like, inhabit the song rather
right.
than just interpret it or cover it. There's a very interesting thread in Facebook a couple of days ago about, you know, what does it mean to cover a song?
Uh-huh.
And I've always felt that covering a song is, it's almost dismissive in a way. I've covered that, and now I'm going to get on with something else, kind of thing. You can interpret a song, and you can also get right inside it, too. Mm. And I feel with songs that I perform the best, there are songs that I have some key to get into the song, some common experience that I've had, and it can be kind of a long shot as to what that common experience is. But without that, I never feel that I can actually give the song the credibility and respect that it deserves.
That's neat.
I think that's true.
Where are you now with your music and band? I know you go to San Gregorio.
Oh, where am I now? What, do you mean just where
music, yeah.
I've been actually, for the first time in years, I've actually been getting out and doing a couple of little solo.
Oh, good.
Solo things, which I'm enjoying a lot.
I'd love to have you play a tune.
Ah.
Is that possible?
It is possible, yeah.
Okay.
All right, now you said you wanted to hear a love song.
I would love to have you take us out on a love song.
Okay, so why don't you play, if I may suggest here, because I've got the guitar here, but I want to tune it down to another,
sure.
to another tuning. Perhaps you could play something else, or, you know, talk amongst yourselves. Why don't you take something off one of the other albums, off the Dangerous Business album? Maybe there's something on there.
Dangerous Business.
Yeah.
And what do you think?
Something for? How about Walk Downtown?
Walk Downtown.
Sung by David Olney.
All right, this is Ring of Truth Trio again.
If I had me a dollar, maybe three or four,
might take a little walk downtown, see what they built it for. What they built it for. What they built it for. Might take a little walk downtown, see what they built it for. Wouldn't walk too long, wouldn't walk too far. And I'd find me a joint with a juke and a seat at the bar. With a seat at the bar. With a seat at the bar. I'd find me a joint with a juke and a seat at the bar. And I might have a drink, might have me too. If it loosens up my tongue, I'll tell the world what you put me through. What you put me through. What you put me through. If it loosens up my tongue, I'll tell the world what you put me through. I'll throw a quarter in the juke. I'd take a notion to dance if the barmaid's cute. If the barmaid's cute. If the barmaid's cute. Might take me a notion to dance if the barmaid's cute. And if the getting gets good, I'd have to sing. There's nobody better than me impersonating the king. Impersonating the king. Impersonating the king. Nobody better than me impersonating the king. A little bit of a beauty man. Could a chain around me be anywhere? What they built it for. What they built it for. What they built it for. Might take me a walk downtown, see what they built it
for. Bob Dylan's very much in the news these days, so you asked for a love song, so here's one of Dylan's songs. Okay. The dogs were barking, day was getting dark. As the night came in a falling, well, the dogs ceased their bark. And the silent night was shattered from the sounds inside my mind. And I'm one too many mornings in a thousand miles behind.
crossroads of my doorstep, my mind starts to fade. And I turn my head back to the room where my love and I have laid. In my mind I see the streets, the sidewalks and the signs. And I'm one too many mornings and a thousand miles behind. It's a restless, hungry feeling. Don't do no one no good. When everything that I'm saying, you can say it just as good. That you are right from your side and I am right from mine. Both just one too many mornings and a thousand miles behind.
Bob so Dylan. Much. Hard to beat the Bob Dylan stuff.
It certainly is.
Anyway, that's...
Yeah.
I digress. Thank you.
Okay.
So you are actually going to be in the area on February 28th. You're going to be at the San Geronimo Community Center. Is that right?
That's a lovely little thing. There's a woman puts that on once a month. And she calls it Kate's Cafe.
Okay. I was wondering what that was about.
And it's named after Kate Wolf. It's in honor of Kate Wolf. And they start out by a group of them getting up and singing some of Kate Wolf's songs. And then they have various people from the community come in and do a short set. And Kyle Alden and I are going to be down there, I think, finishing up the night for him on that night, the 28th of February.
Right.
And it's a really nice... I played there just by myself a few months ago now, 3 or 4 months ago, and had a really lovely evening, a beautiful atmosphere. They have a guy comes in and does the sound and does a really good job with the sound. And it's a lovely place. There's an art gallery there. There's a school next to it, so I think it's used partly as the school, as part of the school sometimes. It's kind of a community. It's what it says. It's the community center. There's all kinds of things going on there.
Yeah,
and it's but this Kate's Cafe is really worth going.
And then you're coming back to the Redwood in Cotati.
Yes,
That's March 28th.
Yes, it is. That's exactly a month later, and we'll be there again. We had a nice night there. I think it was in November,
October.
Was it October?
Yeah.
Kyle and I were there, and you were there. That's how this whole thing started, isn't it? Yeah. Fine mess you got me into. Yeah.
So there you have it, February 28th at San Geronimo Community Center, and then again March 28th at the Redwood Cafe in Cotati. Rory, it was a pleasure having you here.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. This has been fun. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Okay, good. Okay. So Rory McNamara, local troubadour, gracing our show.
And we'll be going under the name of the MC Boys that night.
Okay.
So... That's for tax purposes.
Is there I was wondering if you had some kind of like a little pocket thing that you just spin it and it comes up with the name for the evening or something.
Well, that's a good idea.
Okay, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for your time.